WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. This season on The Seinfeld Show, the name of another popular comic has been added to the writing credits. Kara Leifer has been a friend of Jerry Seinfeld's since she started doing stand-up in the late 70s. A lot of people know her from her frequent appearances on The David Letterman Show. Now she's up for two Cable Ace Awards for her Showtime comedy special, Gaudy, Bawdy, and Blue. She wrote, starred in, and co-produced this mock documentary about a fictional comedian named Rusty Berman, who was popular in the 50s and early 60s for her risque humor. The program opens with Leifer as Rusty Berman at a nightclub in the 50s, wearing a sequin dress, she's seated at the piano, doing her act.
Did you hear about the woman ironing her brassiere? Her husband says, "What the hell are you ironing that for? You got nothing to put in it." She says, "I iron your shorts, don't I?" Did you hear what Lord Godiva said to Lady Godiva? "Where the hell have you been, you rat bastard? Your horse got home 2 hours ago." She's the Yellow Rose of Texas. She charges $50, the richest girl in Texas, and all she does is sews. Laugh loud, or I'll sing clean songs.
Who are some of the comics you're paying tribute to in this mock documentary?
Probably mostly it was based on a woman named Rusty Warren, who was very popular in the 50s and early 60s. She had an album called Knockers Up that actually sold, I believe it's 8 million copies, Terry.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and also women like Pearl Williams was another woman that was around then doing that kind of comedy. And other people have come up to me with other names of women that were around who did this style of cabaret comedy. And it really fascinated me, especially Rusty Warren, since she was so popular and yet so out of sync with the time in that it was a true underground kind of popularity.
So what made you think about these comics recently?
I guess mostly that, being a woman comedian and knowing what that's like in the current comedy scene, thinking about what it must have been like 30 years ago. You know, on Miami Beach in the late 50s, you know, Rusty Warren did a 4 a.m. show. I just really, I get such a kick out of that's what, you know, the nightlife was like then, that, you know, it's 3:30, got to run down to the show, you know, 4 a.m. And that, you know, they worried about being busted. And when Pearl Williams played Carnegie Hall, I believe either she got arrested or, you know, cops were in the background. It was a real dangerous element to comedy. It was, you know, real Lenny Bruce-like kind of comedy.
Did you write the jokes for Gaudy, Bawdy, and Blue, or did you get some of them from the old records?
Well, actually, my dad is, you know, king of the joke tellers.
Mm-hmm. And I thought my dad was king of the joke tellers.
Well, actually, our little piece of Long Island, I have to say, my dad laid claim. But, he's the type of guy who's, give me any subject, throw out a subject, I got a joke for it. So he's semi-retired now, so I called him before I was going to do the special. I said, "Dad, get a tape recorder, put a tape in, and every dirty joke you know, put on a tape." So I really credit my dad with giving me a lot of the material. But, you know, a lot of the jokes are from those type of comedy albums. But even, you know, joke telling is a dying art form. You know, the two guys walk into a bar and that kind of thing. And I like that part of it, too. That, you know, part of comedy intrigues me, too. And it's sad to me that it's really kind of dying out.
Would you tell the one about the guy who has 6 hours to live?
Oh, yeah, that's actually one of my favorite jokes of all time. So a guy comes home from the doctor. Wife says, "What did the doctor say?" And the guy says, "Doctor says I have 6 hours to live." So wife says, "What would you like to do?" He says, "How about sex?" So they have some sex. She says, "All right, what would you like to do now?" He says, "How about some more sex?" She says, "Okay." They do it again. little while later, she says, all right, what would you like to do now? He says, how about sex one more time? She says, look, I got to get up in the morning. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I'll be here all week.
Now, can you tell this kind of joke in your own performances?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think if you go to the improv, you know, you're expecting, Shecky. You know, I mean, if you go to, I went to the Concord Hotel with my family last year. And yeah, that's where, you know, you see these kind of guys who get up and do that kind of comedy. But, you know, it's dying. It's really kind of gone. It's really, even, you know, in the special Rusty Berman, when she's being interviewed, you know, she says, the kids today, did you ever notice this and you ever notice that? No, I never noticed. You know, tell me a joke. You know, I've heard that from older comedians over the years. You know, I think this kind of style of comedy that's prevalent now kind of baffles them. Because to them, you know, comedy is, two guys walk into a bar and that, you know, that's what a show is.
My guest is comic Carol Leifer. Her Showtime comedy special was called Gaudy Bawdy and Blue. She's now a writer on The Seinfeld Show. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with comic Carol Leifer. Now, you work with The Seinfeld Show. You're a writer on the show, sometimes listed, I believe, as a consultant?
Yeah, I was originally a program consultant, and now I'm a story editor. And they're all titles that are just mean writer.
Writer at different salaries, maybe?
right. Different food chain salary levels.
Now, you and Seinfeld used to actually be a couple, right?
Yes, we dated briefly.
When was that?
1977, it's got to be.
So does this make you Elaine?
No, actually, people would think that probably since Jerry and I went out. But no, actually, the character of Kramer is based on me. Well, Jerry and I dated, and then since then we've been great, great friends. So I think that people would kind of maybe think that, but, you know, Julia is really, really made Elaine her own. But I guess that it's natural for people to think that since we're friends who used to go out.
Have there been any storylines that did come out of your experiences together?
No, I wouldn't say any specifically. No, but working there now, they really like real life experiences and translating that to the show. You know, they really want to keep it on a real plane, so I try to think, and everybody who writes at the show, you know, now I find myself doing a lot of things that I maybe wouldn't do before because I always think, well, I could get a story idea out of it.
Like what? What have you done to get a story idea?
Semi-recently, a gay friend of mine asked me if I wanted to go with another gay friend of his to the Hollywood Bowl because the guy was going with, he works in banking and he was going with his boss and he kind of needed a beard to go with him.
A beardette.
Yes. Beardesse. So I went with him and actually got a storyline out of it. So I was happy that I could do that.
Has that one been on yet?
No, but It is funny because when you put yourself in these situations, it's much easier to think, you know, like I was thinking when I went to the Hollywood Bowl with this guy, you know, when he went to go to the bathroom, you know, it might have been funny if, you know, the boss and his wife then turned to me and say, you know, I hope you don't get your hopes up too high with this guy because, you know, he's gay. <You know? laughs> And then when, you know, he comes back, you know, Elaine would be like, oh, you know, you don't know how wrong you are. We're practically living together, you know, and starts, like, making out with him. So, you know, I definitely do more things now that maybe I wouldn't necessarily just to kind of see what happens.
Being the only woman on this staff of writers, as I believe you are you often in the position of having to give the female point of view and saying, nah, a woman wouldn't do that?
Well, besides getting coffee for the guys,
Yeah, and actually, sometimes, even really very small ways. I was just working in my office once, and Jerry called me from downstairs and said, what's a really fancy type of woman's shoe? What's a nice shoe? You know, I said, oh, I don't know, like slingback pumps? Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, thanks, you know. So sometimes it's really in small ways like that. But yeah, I think definitely, you know, being the woman there, they asked me about things that relate to women. But I really have to say, all the guys there are really, you know, there wasn't even a woman writing on the show last year. And I really think that they write for women very well. I don't think it's like a lot of other shows that I would watch where you're sitting at home and you're thinking, boy, this really doesn't sound like kind of things women would say or talk about. I really do think they have a good ear for what women talk about and think about. So I don't think I'm relied on all that heavily. I think they have a good good beat on it.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you have dated Jerry Seinfeld, as we mentioned. You also used to date Paul Reiser, who now has his own network show. I figure like the network should give sitcoms to your boyfriends or something.
Right. Right. If anybody wants to get a network spot, my number is 555.
So when did you date Paul Reiser?
Well, actually, Paul is the entire reason why I got into comedy. I went to, we both went to State University of New York at Binghamton. And so we started going out in college, and we both had a big interest in comedy. Actually, he was the first guy, when I met him at a party, who, he was doing lines from The 2,000-Year-Old Man. And I, you know, I heard it like this mating call, you know, on the other side of the room. And then we started, you know, talking. I mean, he was the only guy that I ever knew my age who knew the album. So we started going out, and then he had told me during the summer when we were off from school that he would go to Catch Rising Star, this nightclub in New York that had audition night where anybody could go on. So I went and I watched him one summer, and he did great, and it looked like a lot of fun, so I started doing it. And then we both passed the audition at a place called the Comic Strip. And Paul was a year ahead of me at school, so he graduated, had already graduated, and decided to pursue a career in comedy. And so I left school, actually, to start doing comedy. But I started at a very good time. When Paul and I passed the audition at the Comic Strip, Jerry was actually the MC at the audition night. So, you know, we started out together, and Dennis Wolfberg and Larry Miller and... you know, it was a really good time to start because it wasn't the boom that it is now. It was a pure, simpler, gentler time, Terry.
So did you leave Paul for Jerry?
I dated a lot of comedians in those days. I'm not exactly what my route of flight map was like then, but, you know, when you're around comedians and they're really the only people that you see, you know, during your evenings, you're bound to date a few of them.
Right. Now, I know you grew up in a family of doctors. What kinds of doctors were you surrounded by?
Well, my mom is a shrink. A lot of shrinks in the family. Mom is a shrink. My brother and my sister is a shrink. And my father is an eye doctor. So they can all see their problems really clearly.
What was it like having a mother who was a shrink? Did she...
Actually, I have a joke about it in my act. You know, it's hard to picture my mom solving other people's problems when she's the root of most of mine.
Right, right.
But, yeah, it was, it's definitely, it's different. You know, I mean, I used to tell this story, too, in my act about how, you know, there are advantages to it. Like, I remember when I was... during driver's ed, you know, my mom took me out to drive one day and I accidentally, you know, hit a squirrel. And my mom was like, don't worry, you know, the squirrel clearly displayed suicidal tendencies. It's okay.
Do you ever sometimes hear your mother in your own voice or see her in your movements?
Oh, it's amazing. In the special, I mean, you know, dressed up kind of with the wig and the dresses, it was really kind of uncanny how much, you know, I look like my mom.
Did you use her voice? Because your voice, no. I think, is huskier in the special.
Definitely. As Rusty, I talked a lot more like this. And this is all my relatives in Boca. That's that voice. Honey, get me a Fresca.
What's the next episode you've written for Seinfeld?
The next episode I'm working on now, well, I have the two. I have the beardette mm-hmm. idea, and I'm working on a new one now that is actually inspired by something that happened in real life, too, with Jerry. We were going to the movies about a month ago, and a bird flew into my apartment, which totally freaked me out, and so he came over my apartment, and I was so impressed, Terry. He just grabbed some oven mitts and got that bird out of there like Superman. So I was very impressed. So that's part of a new story now.
Carol Liefer, thank you so much for talking with us.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah?
A pleasure.
Carol Liefer is a writer on The Seinfeld Show. She's up for two Cable Ace Awards for her Showtime special, Gaudy, Bawdy, and Blue. This is Fresh Air.